Good evening, everybody. This is Gordon, W2TTT. We'll start the TechNet in about 1 minute. Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. We'll be using the call sign of K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo, the club sign's call, the club's call sign. Boy, am I in a rush tonight. Let's take a deep breath and slow it down. Anyway, we're going to have a great net tonight, and I'm looking forward to lots of check-ins, whether or not you have a question or a comment or a confusion. We'd like to know you're out there, so please consider checking in, even if you don't have anything you think that you might want to contribute. First and foremost, do we have any emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, with nothing heard, our next act is to go over how we operate here. This net is a little different than most other nets. We do check in by call sign block, or prefix, if you will, and we hope that you will help with that by responding. Again, we have a very intense interest in your checking into the net, even if you don't think you have anything to contribute, because by knowing who's listening out there, we can somewhat tailor the content and the manner in which we present it to the audience. So please do consider that as you check in. Okay. Another small detail is that we really enjoy courtesy of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater, just like we enjoy the courtesy of the Bergen County FM Association for the use of the 14679 repeater and the 444-100 repeater when we use those repeaters for the other nets on either Wednesday night or earlier on Thursday at 8:30. We have the 440 net. So, with no further ado, let's see who's out there and what we're going to be doing, because we all sorts of good things happening tonight. Let's see, our first group tonight is going to be the K's. We haven't started with the K's in a while. So any station whose call sign begins with kilo immediately followed by the number 2, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment, or none of the above. K2AMI, no questions, none of the above. Tony, with no questions or comments. Any other kilo twos?
K2ZO.
Good hearing you back, James. Question, comments, both, confusions?
None at this time.
Roger. Any other kilo twos?
K2DSL, David. No questions or comments at this time.
Hey, I got K2DSL. Good evening, David. And any other kilo twos?
K2DEN Denver, no questions, no comments.
Okay, very good, Denver. You as well. Boy, it's a rough room. Any other kilo twos? Any other kilos? Okay, let's try the alpha calls with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or none of the above. Alrighty, let's go to the whiskeys. Okay, nothing heard on whiskeys. Any November calls, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above. Wow, okay. Any other call signs, any late check-ins for the net, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. WE2R, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Hey, Charlie, good evening to you, sir. All right, we have a kind of a quiet group tonight. Any other stations for the net? Okie dokie. Before we begin, and probably do another roll call, just kind of curious, just following up on a few things from last week. First one is Tony, K2AMI. I'm just kind of curious if you've made any progress with your Echolink access and your router and things like that.
K2AMI, Tony, and I've made no progress yet. I had a brief discussion about it with Dave half an hour ago on the other net, but I do not have a solution to get audio into the repeater. In fact, there's a part where you can use run a test from the screen and test your audio gets into the repeater, and that doesn't work either. So I obviously don't have the ports open yet. Back to net.
Someone want to make a comment? Alrighty. Guess not. So the bottom line is, when you do the testing, it doesn't work there either. So therefore, it kind of implies that you have the two ports that are required, and or do the port forwarding, as the case may be. Now, I believe I have that same problem here. I must confess, I cheat. I use my my 3G card. Well, I use my cell phone, if you will, or cell modem, to get an internet connection from my laptop, and that's how I make it happen. Kind of an odd way of doing it, but I use wireless to access the internet, and then I come out on ham radio or vice versa. I too must do that little bit of surgery on the configuration. Very good. Are there any other check-ins for the net? Alrighty. Let's see. Alright, the other item was last week we had some input from Mike, K3CWR's husband. I'm drawing a blank on his call. KA2LR. Oh, geez, now I feel like a total bonehead. Now I'm really feeling like an idiot. Anyway, he had got inspired by the orange boxes that he had seen made by the Saturn people and by what I did and some others. And he built this beautiful wooden cabinet. We looked at it last week. David, maybe you can bail me out here on this one. Anyway, in his photo gallery, not on the website directly, but on the photo gallery on the main part of his website, he has added pictures of how the wooden box slides into the orange box. And I thought that was really, really slick. The other thing Jim NS2K noted last week that was kind of neat about what Mike had done was that he had taken a rig runner, Anderson Power Pole strip, and put triangular brackets on both sides of they were flange brackets, but basically they had one hole that was set just high enough over the rig runner so that when you plugged a plug into the rig runner, that the hole that the roll pin would go into, a rod could be slid and it would hold all of the connectors in place, which I thought was great. And in the process of so doing that, he ended up with a really nice low pressure way to hold the cables in, no matter what position they were in, how much they were bounced or vibrated. The only comment that I made on it, besides just how wonderful it was I felt that he was using a metallic rod and I would have used a non-metallic rod. In fact, even something as light as a wooden dowel, would probably be sufficient in most cases to make it work for you. But anyway, David, can you bail me out on Mike's call?
I'm not sure what you're asking me. Give it to me again.
Last week we had a little conversation about the orange boxes, and Mike, and my gosh, his wife is K3CWR, and I can't remember his call, KA2R or something, or LR, gosh, I can't remember now. I'll go look through my mail, I'll find it in the next minute or so. But in any case, it was fantastic the way he had designed it. Basically, he had wooden boxes for his desktop, and all he had to do was slide it into one of those big orange boxes for transport, and it would provide a weather-resistant case for transport. In fact, if you wanted, you could operate it out of that orange box in a wooden frame. It was very nice. But it looked very nice on his desk, and, you know, I mean, you could stain it any color you want. He chose mahogany, but if you like something lighter, you could do that. So, anyway, just kind of wondering if anybody's had any experience with what I'll call stations in a box. All right, well, I'll find it in a minute. In any case, Tony, do we have any club announcements coming up? Do you want to talk about the dinner, maybe?
Hey, well, the dinner is obviously passé. It was last Sunday, and I'm glad to see that you and your family attended, and I think everybody on Frequency attended. It was a spectacular presentation of food in quantity and a varied menu for sure. I don't think anybody left there hungry. I, you know, being Italian, I would have chosen some other items that were also good, but what was there was very good also. So I think that was a plus. Bruce is so enthusiastic with the response, he thinks that probably we'll do it again next year, same time, same place. But we'll see. Let me drop it. I did just want to make an announcement. I'm sure that I know that Jim and David are aware, and I don't know if Denver is, but we now are operating from our old location on top of the Bergen County Community Services. Bergen County Medical Center down there, or whatever they call that building, the old Bergen Pines building, and we have both the 4400 machine and the 14679 machine up and running on new antennas with new cables and completely new repeaters. So by all means, exercise them on your occasions and get to find out what the range is as you run around the county. This section of the county is much favored compared to where we were before. And I guess that's it so far, except one more. At Kid Night on the 22nd, we're going to have a little bit of a sort of holiday party of our own. Probably next Tuesday, which I'm not too sure of the date, we'll arrange with who's going to bring in what. And on the 22nd, the last Tuesday of the Kid Nights for December, we won't be doing much in the way of Kid Nights. We'll have a munchies party and a wishing of happy holidays to all who attend. So I guess that's about it for now.
How neat. Okay, well, the 22nd, I have no, what do you call it, no scout meeting. So we will see what times and family activities bring. I know Jeremy has a half a day of school the next day, so... So pretty awesome. That's awesome. So it would be at the high school?
Sorry, your question again? It would be at the high school? What? Don't understand.
In other words, the, what do you call it? The, what do you call it? The party will be at the high school?
It's in the same room that the Kid Night is normally held at. In the same room, which I'm not too sure. I think it's number 123, but I'm not too sure. But the same Kid Night room we always use.
Okay. That I was asking only because when school's not in session, they meet at the other building. And I've only attended Kid Night when they've been at the other building. I have actually never had the privilege of being at Kid Night on a Tuesday when school is in session and you have access to the school. So... we are taking the 22nd off because on the 28th we have a general class course
one-day course, and then Tuesday we have a technician class course with testing for both on Tuesday evening. So we decided that the 22nd, rolling up to Christmas, would be a really nice time to take a stand down for the troop. So we did. So it seems that Mike's website is down. I thought I was having trouble here for a reason I don't understand. Now I do understand it. It's not me on the site wrong. And apparently there's a problem. It's probably Blue's index file that doesn't know it. Oh well. Now, when he gets back on the air, he might join us later. Alrighty. Any more from you, Mr. Tony?
If you are planning on coming and you are going to consume a lot of food, bring something. Cookies, potatoes, pretzels, nuts, anything that munchies. No alcohol beverages, obviously.
Yeah, okay, well, no Christmas cigars with a red ribbon around them. If you're going to smoke them, yeah, I get the message. No problem, I don't smoke cigars anyway. So, that sounds great. I'm just kind of curious, does anybody have any... actually, I have a question for David, specifically. How has he configured his station for various contesting efforts? You're relatively new into the contesting game, and I'm kind of curious how you've configured your station for various kinds of contests. What contests have you participated in? Maybe you could describe that for us a little bit. K2DSL. K2BAR.
K2BAR, K2DSL. I don't necessarily have a configured special for contesting. I have my power supply, Kenwood TS-2000, and a computer that happens to be running Windows XP. I have a sound card device that's called a Signaling USB that I brought to the meeting that one night. I have a cable that Dave K2 Zulu Charlie made for me that I also use. That's a serial port to do CW and FSK. And I use different software depending on the contest, but typically I use N1MM as the contest logging program, which is fine for single sideband or phone, CW or RIDI or PSK. And then for RIDI, it interfaces with MMTTY, which is how I do RIDI, MMVARI, which is how I do PSK, and for CW, I launched DM780, which does the inbound decoding of CW signals, and then N1MM sends the PSK RIDI or CW that I needed to send all within N1MM. That's how it's set up. K2BAR, K2DSL.
So you use N1MM as your all-purpose logging program as well as your contest log?
I just use N1MM for contesting. I don't think it would function as a all-purpose log, but I use Ham Radio Deluxe or HRD as my all-purpose log, and after a contest, when I'm done, I export the ADIF file, which is just a standard file format that computer logging programs can exchange, and I import it into Ham Radio Deluxe, so I have all my contacts in Ham Radio Deluxe. N1MM is great for contesting because, well, that's really what it's built for, and it knows about, well, any contest I've ever been in, which I don't know, probably Phil WH2LXE knows better than I do how many it was last year, but probably, I don't know, maybe 25 last year, not counting QSO parties, which are just fun. I think that's about what I probably have done last year. But he probably has it, or someone can go back into the bullet and count them all. K2BAR, K2DSL.
W2JEK with a question.
Go ahead, Don, and you're checked in now.
I have a question for you, David, or anybody that has used the turns in the log electronically. What I just did in the 160-meter contest, I used Paperlog, but you were told you can go into www.b4h.net/cabforms, and then you type in your log information and well, the summary and everything, let it, and then what they do is send a copy of it back to you, and they send a copy to the ARRL. And I got the copy, came back, and a few seconds later, the ARRL came back with a confirmation. Now, one thing that I put in was that this was a Bergen ARA as a club score, and it did not show on the confirmation from the ARRL. Also, when I typed in my full name and address, it was all in one line, and when I got the confirmation back from the B4H logging thing, it had my full name and address. But when I got the part back from the ARRL, it says address unknown, because it had my name, and it got to the street and at River and an ED, and it didn't get the GE of River Edge, and that ended it. So I was just wondering if that's some kind of a glitch in their thing or not. I mean, it got out there to this cab forms outfit. It didn't somehow didn't, and this happened to me before, so I was just wondering if anybody's had any problems with that kind of stuff. Back to that W2JK.
Well, Don, I don't use that site, though I'm sure a bunch of people do, especially those that do paper logging. So N1MM for me automatically generates the cab file, the Cabrillo file, but it's nothing really more than a text file. So if you wanted to, you can open up that file just in anything, you know, not sure which operating system you're using, but Notepad or WordPad or any program, open up the cab file and edit it, and that's probably how you saw possibly what was in there or that was in the return email, and you can edit it in almost any contest, and I'm sure the 160 contest is the same, that it will accept as many logs as you want, and the last one that you submit is the one that it counts on. So you could just, for this contest, edit the file, which is local, and then send an email to 160meter@arrl.org, and just make sure that your Cabrillo file is w2jk.log or .cab, and that your email subject says W2JEK, and attach the file and send it back in. If you're not 100% sure about it, you can send it to me, and then I can look at the file and send it back to you if you want, and you can get my email off of QRZ. Back to that.
There's a W2JEK. Well, what happened, one thing that I did do on there, I typed in my, like the summary sheet here, single op, cap power, QRP, non-assisted, all that stuff. And then they go into doing the log sheet. I worked at in Jamaica on 160. Now, in all the other contacts, you put down the date, the time, the call, the ARRL section. No, wait a minute, the RST report, and then the ARRL section. And I got to the guy in Jamaica, put down the date, the time, the call, the RST report, and I put 6Y for Jamaica. And I submitted the thing, came out, found that there's an error. So I scrolled down through it, saw that they didn't like that 6Y. So I edited that out, resubmitted, and they took the thing and said, it's accepted. And then they sent that into the ARRL. So I did get that far along with the thing. But the one thing that I'm not sure, that I have to find somebody else that does type of log and uses this thing. I guess that's the answer to it. Because what I don't want to do is have to retype 111 contacts. That's That's my thing. I had a problem with the side, the CW sweepstakes. I don't know any contact I had there. And then when the whole thing went, tried to submit it and edit it, and I had a problem with it, and the whole thing went, whoop, I lost the whole thing. So I'm not enthusiastic about, and I actually just submitted that as a paper lock. But you can still do. But the thing is, I wanted to try this thing, and I've done it in the past with the sweepstakes phone. I've also used other logging, a thing called Autologger for the North American QRP CW Club, and that seems to work okay. It's just that I'm wondering about the whether the club's going to get the advantage of my score. That's one of my things, and of course this address thing, they obviously can look me up. They got my call. It's just a case of the way I type it into them, and it doesn't get out from there out to the ARRL. I don't know what the problem is there. Back to that, W2JK.
Any more, boys?
Still on the repeater here. I was helping out Randy, K5, Zulu Delta, and he runs the CQ, I think WPX, maybe CQ Worldwide, but I was helping him out, and a bunch of people were entering in logs for him. And he recommends using a program that's called LM. And it's a free program you can download the internet. And that's how I entered in a bunch of logs. Some of them had 400-plus contacts for him, and was able to, I think it creates a Cabrillo file or whatever, but I can look and see, and I can send you a link to where that is, if that helps. That runs locally, and you shouldn't lose anything, and you can just keep editing it until it comes out the way you want. So even if you don't want it, I'll go ahead in a little bit and send it to you, and you can... you can see if that one's any better. Or you can just send me the paper logs. I don't care. Or type them into a Word, and I'll do them. It's no big deal. K2BAR, K2DSL.
David, this is W2JK. No, you don't have to type them in. I got my confirmation number. It's just that I was wondering why they didn't get my address, really. And they didn't show the club name on the reply. I don't know whether that's a given or not. That in this case. At any rate, no, thank you for the effort. I think it's all right the way it's going to be. I might send it. I talked to Phil Barber about it. He might have more information on that. Good with the paper log arrangement there. But anyway, thank you, David. Back to that. W2JK.
Anybody else?
Who am I?
Johnny.
Again, the other fellows, I'm sure you're aware, but this particular weekend coming up, starting at 7 o'clock on Friday night to 7 o'clock on Sunday night, is the 10-meter contest operating both sideband and CW. 10-meter only, and it's a very enjoyable contest if the band is open. You can probably participate in the car there, Gordon.
I can participate from home with my rotatable dipole, oddly enough. Let me ask a question. What were the times again?
It starts at 7 o'clock Friday night. Oh, that's 001 Zulu time until a minute before 7 o'clock on Sunday night.
Okay. So it's a 48-hour contest. Very nice. Okay. Very, very nice. All right. What are your plans for antennas, everybody? Let's go around the table.
Who am I? Again, I only have wire. I have a 40-meter Carolina Wyndham that operates on 10, and I have a loop antenna that operates on 10 with a tuner. So I'll be using those two antennas and with a switch. I'll be running only 100 watts, though. I think Jim can probably tell you a better antenna. Jim, you going to pick it up?
This is K2ZO. I'll probably just run 200 watts, although I could run a lot more. But probably won't need it. I know on 10, you really don't need much power. But the stepper will do a job for me. What I like about the stepper is the fact that I can instantly reverse it. so if somebody's coming in from the back, I don't have to wait to swing the beam around. I just punch the button, and in a second, I've reversed it, which is really cool.
All righty. Anybody else have any ideas of what they would use on 10 meters?
W2JK.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, I'm using my N-fed long wire. It's about 110 feet long. Starts from the cellar window, goes up about 20 feet, goes out about 60 feet across the yard to an insulator on the tree, then it goes out horizontally about 30 feet to the toward the east at the tree, which is in the middle of the yard. Because I use this with a tuner. Same wire I've used on 160 meters, and I use also on 80 meters. Get out all right. One thing I should mention, I look for e-skip on 10 meters. We'll be working a bunch of locals, and all of a sudden, work somebody, it's a W-2 call, but we find out he's down in Florida, and then Dan can be a lot of fun when you get those openings. Back to next, W-2JK.
Yeah, it really is. I tend to take it to another level on 6 meters. I have two different 6-meter Yagis on two different rotators, and one of my favorite things to do is to switch them back and forth or to listen on one while, roasting on both of them pointed in different directions and jiggle the beam a little bit, maybe taking turns calling CQ. One of the things I've done in my ham shack that is still a work in progress, but it's largely done, is I operate a single operator, two radio kind of scenario on 6 meters and with the two independent antennas, independent rotators. And so one of my next steps first is to stack a couple of halos together on the side of my tower and have that as an option. And then the other is to, because the radio has a dual receive kind of capability, you switch back and forth between two different antennas if you want. And the other is a Rig Blaster Duo, which does help manage the audio and the PTT a little bit. The only thing that I haven't fully embraced yet is there's a switch on the front that says transmit select. And so one of my future tasks is to take that AB switch and replace it with a relay and drive it with two foot switches. And so left foot switch would drive one radio, right foot switch would drive the other radio, and go that way. And in the process, mute the other radio, and also protect the other radio's front end by switching the antenna feed to a dummy on receive, so that way it'd be covered. Now that becomes more complicated if you have. Let me drop it. That becomes more complicated if you have two antennas or two or more antennas feeding a radio and you're transmitting on the other one, because even if it's not the antenna you've selected, RF still will come in the receiver to the switchover network. And you're running 100 watts, it's probably not a problem, but if you're running more, it could be a problem. If you're running 100 watts and the antennas are pointing at each other, that could be a big problem. But so you really have to think about how to isolate all of the antenna ports that could possibly be used on a second receiver or transceiver should you have a cable attached to it with an antenna. So it does get to be a little tricky, especially on things like a Pro 3 or a Pro 2, where you have two antennas, or transceive antennas, if you will. Then you have a receive-only antenna port as well. So you could use three isolation relays per radio, theoretically. I mean, you're probably not going to, but it's certainly a thought that could cross your mind. So I think for 6 meter mode, I would, it'd be enough of a chore to isolate the the antenna 1 and antenna 2 ports and forego the other. It's something to really be careful about because if you have anything attached to the receive-only port, it's really unprotected. You really get yourself in a world of hurt for your front end if you're not careful.
What?
Is there a station want to check in? To KB2HY something. You were more noise than I care to say, we got part of your call sign. Can you try again, briefly?
What? Vernon, New Jersey, you say I'm noisy, right?
Yeah, I got that you're in Vernon, New Jersey. Is K2HYO, KB2HYO, I'm not real sure, but we'll drag our feet a little bit, but maybe you need to see what you can do to just tweak up your signal just a hair more, and we'll try it again for you in a moment. Anybody have any comments about, SO2R or, single operator, two radio kind of configurations for 6 and or even for even HF, over?
And you, JK.
Go ahead, Don.
Not specifically for the single operator, two radio, but, if you're using a Puma, know what your settings are. I have them written down. I have a chart here for, put my phone here so that I don't have to go wondering where my what my settings are. I know right where they are, and I can come back so close to them I probably don't have to use an SW operage to put me on the air. Of course, you should check it, I guess, unless you have something that's real critical. It's a time saver for contest operation. Same thing with your amplifiers if you have something to tune or a radio that has to be tuned, like a tube rig or something, where you have to record your dial settings for that. The ability to make your band changes rapidly, especially in an HF contest, you spend a lot of time, at least a lot of time, making, if you have to go through the whole rigmarole of changing bands without knowing where your settings would be while you make a chart. Some people take masking tape and put and mark on the put it on the panel by the dial and by the knob pointer, so and mark on there what band it's for and whatnot. So a lot of things you can do to speed things up in that respect. Back to that, JK.
And that's really good advice. Really good advice. Let's see. I have a question for David. With the RigBlaster Duo, it has two USB ports built in, which is very cool. And I use them for rig control and such. If I want something for FSK, then I actually have to have yet another port, another pair of serial ports for my configuration. One of the things that I found is that in general, I had to run Ham Radio Deluxe with two instances, one controlling one set of virtual serial ports and one controlling another set of virtual serial ports, which was kind of interesting, but that's what I've, run out and done, and I'm just kind of curious, if you've had the opportunity to run two copies of HRD or two copies of MM, or how does MM handle SO2R?
K2BAR, K2GSL. You just run one copy of N1MM, and you run two instances of MMTTY. I just, while you were talking, did a quick RigBlaster Duo search, and it looks like it has dual isolated keying and dual FSK, which means, and then in parentheses it says MMTTY EXT FSK outputs. So you should be able to run one instance of N1MM with two instances in an SO2R config for MMTTY with your Rig Blaster and not need anything else other than what you got, if this is right. Back to that.
It could be. I think the hardest part is going to be that with this device, you have a choice of whether or not a port is going to be, it's got two virtual serial ports. You have a choice as to whether or not the port is going to be used for CW and RIG control, or whether it's going to be used for FSK. And if you use it for FSK, you can't use it for anything else, basically. So if you're switching between two radios and such, you essentially need to externalize your FSK inputs. That's the only bad news about the whole thing. So I'm in the process of working that out now. So I literally will be plugging in four USBs to make this puppy work for two radios. But yeah, I'm almost there. That's the one little piece that is unaddressed. But it will be addressed soon enough, so it's getting there. I just have to work that last little piece out. But not bad overall. Anyway, you'll see in the manual how they describe that. In any case, it's a great little thing. One other thing, as I glance over at my Rig Blaster Pro, which I have on my 746 Pro, it reminds me that I read something today that SARTs, which is one of the common repair facilities for ICOM radios, will repair pretty much anything, including tweaking up your 746 Pro, through the end of the year under warranty. You have to send it back to them, you have to call them first and get a return authorization, things like that. But basically, with the cost of sending it to them, you can get the whole thing squared away, and all the old tweaks and updates made. After the first year, it's going to be $150 because the radio is formally out of production in 2009. So they'll honor it through the end of the year, but in 2010 you'll have to pay $150 plus shipping to have any of the fixes applied and anything like that. So if you have a 746 Pro, Tony, I'm thinking the one you bought for your nephew, it might be worthwhile to check its pedigree. And
repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout, clear.
I deserve that. Anyway, I tried to do a good turn and I got a little long-winded. Sorry about that. Tony, I was saying that your nephew's 746 Pro, you might want to check with SARTs or a few of these other warranty service places for ICOM, because after the first year it's going to cost $150 plus shipping to get all the updates applied, whereas before the end of the year it's going to require just the shipping.
Thank you, Gordon. I just don't understand the name. Can you spell SARTs the way it's spelled? Is it with an S or with a C?
Sierra Alpha Romeo Tango Sierra SARTs. It's one of the authorized service places, but for ICOM, but they can do warranty work. But I read just today somewhere that if you want to have warranty work done on the 746 Pro at minimal cost, it's got to be done this year, not next, unless you want to pay $150.
Okay. David just sent me a link about working on the routers. I don't have the concentration to get it done at this moment, but would you like to see the link also?
Please. Is it for Linksys by any chance?
Covers many brands, but Linksys is included.
Okay. Yeah, I have. Well, actually, my current router is not Linksys, but that's okay. I have the one that Verizon provided. And I don't know if it's Broadcom or one of the others, I can't remember now. But no big deal. That'd be great. Thank you, David.
Sure, no problem. And if it's Verizon, it's probably an Action Tech. But that's just my wild guess.
You're right, it is. Thank you.
David's submission, I'll send it right now. I think it's interesting. It looks like it might work, but I just don't have the concentration to work on it at this moment.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can dredge you up the 746 Pro warranty stuff. But I heard this, I've been hearing this for a couple of weeks, and I was reminded of it today, and it would be very well worth your while to send it out and get it done. They'll do, if necessary, the display mod and a few other mods that are known to be necessary. And I think there's, for 746 Pros, there's a variety of issues, as you know, and I've been very lucky I haven't had any problem, but one of the things, if you have a 5-digit serial number, it's older than a 7-digit serial number. There are engineering, mods out there for 7-digit ones, but there are a few more for 5-digit models, so both are well worth addressing either way. But yeah, you call them up with your serial number and see what gives. I'm going to either do that tomorrow or Monday and see what I can do. See if I can possibly get it back before Christmas. All right, does anybody else have a 746 Pro? I also heard that a 706 Mark II G is being discontinued this year, and 703 Pluses are being discontinued as well. So if they're, again, it's well worth your while before a radio, especially, an ICOM radio where they have a very generous warranty policy. If you want to get that addressed, it would be well worth your while to do that. While the model is relatively current, before it goes out of whack, it costs you more money to get fixed. But, they also do a general alignment, bring things up to snuff, which is, periodically not a bad idea to do anyway.
Who am I?
Tony, go ahead.
Last weekend, there was a customer appreciation week over KJI store, and there was a very nice representative there from ICOM. Her first name was Pat, don't know her last name, and I spoke at length to her, and she was saying that definitely before, or for certain, when we have the Dayton Ham engine, there'll be a new ICOM out. Maybe you've seen some advanced wordings on that too. It's got a 900 series number on it, and it'll have the low bands, the 6 meters, 2 meters, 440, I guess it's all 4 bands in the one radio instead of cutting out 440 as it has on the 746 or on the or on some of the other radios. It'll have all 4 bands, and it'll be in one package. Now, have you seen advanced wording on that?
Actually, there's a Yahoo group for it as well. It's ICOM 9100. Let's see what we got here. The 9100 is an HF 6 to 430, 440 rig, and then I think it has 1200 as well. I think, though, you have to add transverter for that band. Not bad, and it's got a lot of the same componentry as the 7600. Now, someone said there's something in the 910, of all things, that's missing from the 9100. All the things they added, they apparently left out something, but no, it's still very good radio. I mean, my lord. So it's designed to go after the TS-2000. That's the bottom line. It's designed to chase that one down.
Well, they're going to stop production on the 910, I understand, and 746.
Well, they have stopped the production on the 746 Pro, and I don't know for a fact, I don't track the 910 group, but I do track the 703 plus group, and actually it's really funny, I'm looking at my list of ICOM groups that I track. I track the 7000, the 746 Pro, the 756 Pro 3, the 7600, which is another new radio, which is very interesting, has a lot in it that's going to go into the 9100, and then I track the 9100 and the 703, 703, 703 plus, actually two different groups, so I track them both. So, far interesting, more interesting to see how various vendors and such handle these things. But I was very pleased to hear about the 746 Pro thoughts of you know, support and things like that, how they were handling this. So I'm gonna go back and repair of ICOM IC 746 Pro. I'll have to find out where I saw the reference to SARTs. But anyway, some people have the backlight on the LCD go out. And, you know, that's not fun to have happen, in case you're wondering. So that's something that's one thing. There are a couple other goofy things. Someone said there's a power problem. By the way, the way you get your backlight problem not to have a problem is you run it at full brilliance. You know, when you get fancy and start dimming it, well, that heat's got to go somewhere. I just found the SARTS reference, too. There's a gentleman named Matt Adrian, KD8ZB. He apparently did some nice work. And I'll go find out more, but I got to find out where this SARTS business is, because I think I deleted some of the subsequent messages, but I will find them. If you join the or browse the ICOM 746 Pro Yahoo group, I think you'll be in Fat City for that. Any other questions, comments, confusions? 2JK. Go ahead, Doc.
I got an email from my friend John K1H up in New Hampshire. And he just got his beacon frequency assignment for the 600-meter experimenters group, 509.8 kilohertz. And he's had it on the air for, I think, since December 8th. He took it off again, but he has been heard out as far as Pennsylvania with it out near Harrisburg. And he's got about 20 watts out. He's got a long wire that resonates at about 620 kilohertz, so, and he's got a tuner to tune that up for his antenna. He gives us, he gave me an email with a couple of others here in our group, but how he modified a Tentec Omni to work at the 500 kilohertz range, and I won't go into detail on that, but maybe someday we'll have that band on our radios too. A thought for the future, maybe. At any rate, it's just a thought, but there might be something else coming down the radio pike for us if they ever give us that assignment. Anyway, back to that. W2JK.
I think that Jim already has it on his software-defined radio. Jim, do you, does it start a 500 KC?
Yep, no problem at all. That actually it starts lower than that. But yeah, you can copy that with that radio, no problem.
Sorry, with which radio?
The point-of-phone radio that I have, receiver. It goes from below 500 up to 30 megahertz.
How marvelous! Just out of curiosity, I guess, Don, are these guys mostly vertically polarized or horizontally? Does it matter?
This antenna he's got, I think it's about 300 feet long or so, and it's like an inverted L. I think most of it's in the horizontal plane. It's got a, if I would say, I don't know offhand how just tall the vertical section is. He's got that vertical, of course, and then the horizontal part stretched out along the Connecticut River on the New Hampshire. South River is Vermont. So one of the things he did he monitored his low frequency beacons that they use for these aircraft jets. Lay down 1,000 feet of wire on the ice when the river was frozen over last winter. He uses a long wire beverage receiving antenna. Now, I guess it worked pretty good. They had to pull it out of the ice while the ice was melting when the spring thaw came along. So, he's really into that stuff. Back to that, WTJK.
Okie doke. I'd have the SART's website address. It's not intuitive. So. Let's see. They service Icon Amateur Radio, Avionics, Marine, and Receiver products under warranty and non-warranty. And then they have a list of standard products they support as well. They have a way to contact them. But the email address, pardon me, the website address is sarts1, www.sarts1.com. So there's your information, Tony. I hope he got that already. Anyway, that's a good thing. So I have the information I was looking for as well. So by laying a ton of wire out on the ice, and ice is an insulator, he got to basically have a low-profile receiving antenna sitting about, maybe about a foot or two above the water. That must have been an interesting thing, 1,000 feet of wire that way. And what did you do? Coil it up when it was done?
Yeah, I think he did that. One of the things he has up there, he has beacons on the broadcast band, what they call a MEDFER. It's up around 1,700 kilohertz. And you're only allowed an antenna that's 10 feet long. And he's got another one that's in the 160-190 kilohertz band that's way down in the bottom of the spectrum there. And actually, I think that's an antenna that's allowed to be 45 feet tall, 15 meters. He was playing with that for a while. I don't know if he's got that on the air. But another thing he's got on the air is what they call a Part 15 device. And that's right below the 20-meter band on 13.559. And usually that would skip over us in this area. But one day, Joe K2JT was listening. He actually heard the thing. Called me up when I heard it. This is one of these days we had, an e-skip on the band. And we actually heard it. It only runs about 4 milliwatts output to a vertical antenna that's attached to this metal dock that he's got out in the river there for his boat.
How neat. And his purpose for having this Part 15 device is what?
This is a beacon, and his call sign is NHVT, New Hampshire, Vermont, and uses that as a, if you get into the Long Wave Club of America, which is sort of a spin-off on that stuff. Originally started out with the 160 to 190 group. And a lot of these guys, they'll just put a beacon on the air and they'll have they'll make up some kind of a call sign. And because there's no FCC assignments to this, obviously. When the 160 to 190, I think you'll have 1 watt output. And on these other bands here, this one, I think you're only allowed a few milliwatts out on the 13.559. It's actually some kind of a supposed medical frequency, but they do have people who just have a beacon sitting there, and they go online and you can find out who these people are, and actually he gets reception reports. I think he got a reception report once from a guy out in Illinois.
That sounds great. Sounds absolutely wonderful. Alrighty. Very good. We should probably do a couple of segments of a couple of nets on that subject, to say the least. I'm kind of curious, did anyone go to Ham Appreciation Day at KJI's last weekend. And besides meeting the ICOM rep, did anybody have any interesting things to report?
Hey, this is K2DSL. I missed the question, Gordon. I was doing something on another computer. What was it?
Okay, David. I was wondering if anyone had gotten out to KJI's last weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, for him, Customer Appreciation Weekend. I have a standing conflict for that weekend, which is kind of annoying, but I've been, in the last couple of years, but past years, I've attended. It's been a lot of fun. So I was just kind of wondering if anybody attended and gleaned anything other than meeting the ICOM rep, which is not a bad thing either, I suppose.
This is K2DSL. The main reason I went there was Gordon West was there. So I brought my extra study guide. So I used them for tech in general as well. And I had him sign my extra study guide. And then he was signing just certificates for folks. So I know I got one and Tony got one. It was nice to meet him. He was a really nice guy. And I had his audio CDs too. And it's amazing. He sounds just like he does on his own audio CDs. It was terrific to meet him. First time I met him. I don't know if anyone else has met him before, but it was nice to meet him. And I think there was some other rep that Jim was talking to. I'm not sure if there were two ICOM reps or he was from somewhere else, but I thought there was another rep there as well. And then Jim was just having his typical party in the back. K2BAR, K2BSL.
Well, that's great. That's super. Yes, I'm familiar with the whole exercise. My wife's family is from the same mother country as Gene's. So, every time I walk in there with my wife, all sorts of Polish things kind of flow across their tongue toward each other's ears and from various containers down the hatch. But anyway, what was I going to say? This TYT radio that I acquired is quite the little radio. It's not as fully functional as your normal dual bander, but it's a whole lot cheaper. And it's got a couple of features on it I like. So, you know, the joys of Chinese radios are, I'm starting to use this thing as my carry around the beat it up everyday radio as opposed to a THF-6, which, you know, you get a little pricey to go beat up every day. And so, I've been making a habit of having the THF-6s available. Pardon me. But the one I'm going to carry around in my purse and day-to-day for various things is this TYT THUVF-1, and works pretty cool. I think the thing I like about it best is the voice messages as you do the recording. I think that's kind of neat. And oh, man. I just realized who Al Gore reminds me of. As he gets older, he reminds me of Rodney Dangerfield. And he don't get no respect either. I'm sorry. I was distracted. I'm terribly sorry. I shouldn't run video when I'm running video. But they just showed a flash of Al Gore being interviewed. And he just looks like Rodney Dangerfield. Just struck me. Anyway. So the TYT radio, I've had it now for a couple of weeks. I've been beating on it pretty hard. The only thing it does do that you kind of expect it to do is it's dual receive, is in fact dual receive, but whichever band captures the radio, it basically cuts out the audio path for the second band. So unlike, let's say, a VX6 or VX7 or THF6, where the two audios blend, one or the other will capture the audio output and provide audio output.
and leaving the other side blocked, even on receive. At least that's my sense of what it's doing. You know, we could run some experiments, I guess, here now with 7.9. Make it simple, use 7.9 and 9.5.5 simultaneously. But if someone wants, we could try that.
Hey, 2AMI.
Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, Gordon. I've got to pack it in. We'll see you another time. Those eight. Bye-bye.
All right, Tony. I've actually kind of run this long, I think. So anybody have any other questions, comments, confusions? And Tony, before you go, just be aware I sent you back the SARTS information. And it's SARTS1.com, www.SARTS1.com. So it'll be in your inbox momentarily as a reminder. But I'd also remind you that to have the serial number of the radio when you call them, just in case. They say you don't need to do it in advance, but if you're looking for warranty coverage, I think it would probably be a good idea, just in case. Anyway, 73Tony. Anybody else have any last questions, comments, confusions, want to check in? We can continue or we can call, we can shut her down. Either way, all works here. This is K2BAR.
W2KK, just want to thank David for the email he sent me. That's all. Good night, W2JK.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I have a question. Can someone bring up a signal and just, you know, chat for 30 seconds on 7.9 while someone else chats here for 30 seconds on 9.5.5? And I'd like to know if I can dual receive. Maybe someone go to 7.9 while someone else chats here. And we can see if the TYT radio will blend.
I can go to 7.9 as long as Pete doesn't yell at me or something, you know, for waking him up.
It's not his private tool, but okay. Yeah, you go ahead and transmit. Maybe someone else can transmit here for 30 seconds as well.
W2JEK, what even you want?
David, why don't you, we'll give you 10 seconds to switch over and both of you transmit for 30 seconds.
This is W2JEK, Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilowatt, making test book. Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilowatt, Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilowatt, this is a test. This is a test by Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilowatt, 146955 machine. This is Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilo. Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilowatt. And test on the 146955 machine. Picking out a dual band receiver. See how that all is working. This is the end of the test. Back to 146955 control.
Yep, it actually votes. It's got a voting dual band capability, but you know what? That's more than having no dual band capability. So the way I see it is that, you know, you can have dual band capability, but not simultaneous scanning of the two. You can have simultaneous scanning of the two, but not simultaneous audio of the two, and then you can have the full-blown where it mixes the two, and completely dual receives. That's not what this does. It's not like a THF6 where it blends the audio streams. And then the catch meow would be to allow you to split the audio like a 742 or something like that, where you can have band 1, band 2 on different speakers off the same radio. So it's a cut above the multi-band single receive, but it's not a true full dual receive. And what's nice about it, though, is that you can monitor two frequencies of your choice in the same or different bands.
I was bored talking to myself, so I came back.
We heard you. I appreciate you doing that. That was interesting. All righty. Anybody else have any questions, comments, confusions? Well, I think we're going to pack this in. I want to thank everybody for a nice net tonight. David, we got to talk more about SO2R and how you configure the your station.
and how you get the serial ports working, all that good stuff. Probably can also follow up with a little echo link cleanup. If Tony and I get motivated, we'll work on that in time for next week. And thank you for the file. And Don, I think after Christmas, and haven't decided what we're going to do New Year's Eve yet. We'll decide that next week. We're going to have a New Year's Eve now. I'm certainly not going to have a Christmas Eve now. I can tell you that right now. But if people would like a Christmas Eve, a New Year's Eve, then we could consider that. And we'll go from there. In fact, it's straight key night on New Year's Eve, if I remember right. So something else to think about. Maybe some of us will get active on the 10-meter contest this weekend. I know I'm going to 2 Devil games, one on Friday and one on Saturday, so it's kind of neat. And my wife has a party light party Saturday afternoon, an open house at my house. So if you want to come over and have a nosh and the like, you're more than welcome to come by. Bring your wife, and I think it's 2:30 to 5:30. I think that's her plan. So we shall see. So anyway, I think that's pretty much it. Any lasties? Hey, thank you very much. I want to thank Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. Thank the Bergen Amateur Radio Association for having such a wonderful community of amateurs. And we will chat with you guys on the morrow. Maybe we'll go for breakfast with you guys and see if I get my wife out the door and motivated to do that. That'd be kind of fun. So, this is K2BAR, W2TTT, signing clear and listening on the repeater, turning the repeater to what passes for normal amateur radio use.
Connected K2FAA. K2FAA disconnected. The people.